intentions. For not by our good works our sin and death erased. It's by Jesus' blood alone we're forgiven and atoned. Jesus trod and make ourselves a living sacrifice to God, but still we stumble as mortal men. Praise Jesus' name, he paid the debt for every sin. We stand condemned under the law.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bruce. Open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We shall ask that you begin to read with me in verse number 1 of Acts chapter 9. If you found your place, stand with me and we shall begin to read. The Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him, about him, a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? I think Saul knew who it was. He called him Lord. He had been persecuting him, fighting against him, imprisoning and even putting to death people that were serving him and worshiping him. And now he asks the question, Who art thou? And then he answers it, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what ye must do, or what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. Now, he asked the question, What wilt thou have me to do? God told him what to do. Now, I believe Saul got saved right there on the Damascus Road. I believe he put his trust in Jesus and suddenly stop being the enemy of Christ, but a child of Christ, became a child of Christ. He said, arise and go into Damascus, and it'll be told thee what thou shalt do. And God had already been working with a man and meeting with a man in Damascus named Ananias, and he said, I want you to go to a house on the street called Straight. There's a man there that I want you to baptize. He's been saved. His name is Saul. And Ananias was kind of afraid because he heard about Saul. He had heard about his persecutions against Christians. But the Lord told him, Ananias, don't be afraid. Do what I tell you to do. This man's gotten saved. He needs to get baptized. And the Lord said unto him, he said, for this man is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now, I want to use the story that I've just read to you this morning, and I want to use one of the two questions that Saul asked at this time of the Lord. First thing he said is, who art thou? It would be a good thing that every one of us settle in our heart, who is the God of glory? That Jesus Christ is God. He is the Savior. And He is the only Savior for sinners. I hope that's settled in your heart. And when it is settled, then you need to ask Him, having accepted Him as Savior, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? I want to speak to you on that subject. Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Father, I ask for Your help this morning as I bring this message. Help me to bring the simple thoughts very plainly. Help me to make it simple so that every person here can understand. And let us understand also that every one of us should ask that question, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Now, Lord, I pray that You might use the message to show every lost person here his need of Jesus, that he is a sinner, and the only way sin can be paid for and forgiven is through the suffering and dying and bleeding of Jesus Christ. Help them to accept You as their Savior today. Then after we're saved, help us to learn what's next. Help us to realize You didn't save us just to get us to heaven and nothing else. But there is a purpose for our life. There is a will of God for us to pursue. And let us never stop asking that question, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? And then help us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Saul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? A question that I'm asked over and over again by individuals is, well, what does God want from me? Or as Paul stated it in our text, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Now, I guess it's the natural response of a man to run to another man first to ask this question. However, a man does not always have the right answer to this question. It is possible for Christians to know the will of God for our lives. I want you to know that. It is possible for Christians to know the will of God for our lives. It is not always possible for another man to tell you the will of God for your life. So, the first place we ought to go is to God Himself. Not to another man, but to God Himself. And like Saul, we ought to ask God, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Since God designed us and created us and has a purpose for us, We ought to go to Him and ask Him, what is your will for our life? Now, the second place the Christian ought to go is to the Word of God. God has written down in His Word His general will for every Christian. There are things that God would have every one of us as Christians to be involved in after we're saved. The Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice for the Christian's life. And it does not change. God did not require certain things of Christians in Paul's day, and now He's exempt us from those things. There are people going around that are so foolish today to say that it's not necessary to be baptized today. This is a different dispensation. You say, what do you say to that, preacher? I say they're fools. The Bible tells us the first thing every Christian is to do after he gets saved is to be baptized, even the same day if possible. That's the will of God for us. So the first place we're to go is to God. We're to ask Him the question, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Sometimes God, by His Holy Spirit, will reveal His will to us. Then we're to go to the Bible, and the Word of God will always confirm God's will for us. By the way, if someone asks you to do something that's not backed up by the Bible, you better be careful. Because the Bible, God will never ask you to do anything that contradicts the Word of God. Never, never, never will He do it. So we ought to go to the Bible. It does not change. Just like Jesus, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the last place we ought to go for direction in the will of God is to some man of God for counsel. But the man of God is never the first place we're to go. The first place we're to go is to God. Then we ought to go to the Bible. And then we can seek counsel from the man of God, but understand the man of God's word never supersedes the Word of God. The Word of God reveals God's will. The man of God may point you to the Word of God to help you understand what the will of God is for our lives. It's a wonderful thing when a person sets out to do and live in the will of God for his life. I was thinking as I was preparing this message about when Diana, my wife, and I came to the place where we realized life is not about living the way we want to, but for Christ. And as a young married couple, we yielded our life to the will of God and spent from that day until now trying to pursue and fulfill the will of God for our life. That's a wonderful thing. You see, when a person knows and obeys the will of God for their life, it's the place of greatest blessings for them. The will of God is the place where we can reach our greatest potential as Christians. The will of God is the place of greatest peace and greatest happiness. It's the will of God that's the greatest, provides the greatest protection for our life and for our family. The will of God is where we can be most fruitful for our Lord and Savior. It's the will of God where we can bring Him the greatest honor and the greatest glory. And I want to ask you this morning, are you in the will of God? Are you living out the will of God day by day? Or do you just do what you want to? Do you ever consider what I'm doing? Am I doing this in the will of God? Am I raising my children in the will of God? Is my marriage centered in the will of God? As a saved young person, am I seeking and living in the will of God for my life. We shouldn't take it for granted. We shouldn't think it was for Paul or for the preacher or for mama and daddy and not for us. The will of God is for every one of us. Do you even know the will of God for your life? Have you ever asked God to help you to know and to walk in His will for your life? I'm afraid that the answer to most of the questions that I've just asked would be no today. I'm afraid that many here today have never one time considered God's will in their life or their marriage or the rearing of their children. And I'm here to tell you, when you live your life without considering the will of God, you're missing God's greatest promise and greatest blessings and greatest protection, greatest peace and happiness for your life. I'm grateful that there are some here today who seek with all their hearts to know and do God's will. Is that true of you? This morning, I want to point out three things in general that I know is the will of God for every person here today. No questions, no one excluded. These three things are the will of God for every one of us. Number one. It is the will of God for you to be saved and know it. It is the will of God for you. You say, where does the will of God start for me? Getting saved and knowing you're saved. Do you think Jesus Christ was sent down to this earth to bear our sins on the old rugged cross so we could live like hell and die without hope? No. Jesus came and died so sinners could be saved. It is the will of God for every one of us to be saved. Galatians 1:4 says, speaking about Jesus, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. It was the will of God that Jesus come and bear our sins on the cross, be buried in a grave, raised from the dead to provide salvation to every sinner who would trust Him as Savior. That is the reason Jesus came to this world. The sole purpose of Jesus coming into this world to die for our sin was so that we could be saved. This is the will of God for every person. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? If not, you've not done even the first thing in God's will for your life. God's will is that you be saved. Are you? Do you know it? There's some people here today, the best you can do is say, I hope I am. I don't want to go to hell. Maybe I am. But do you know? The will of God is not just that you might hope, that it might be a maybe-so salvation, but it might be a no-so salvation. These things have I written unto them that believe, that they may know they have eternal life. Paul said, I know who am I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? If not, you've not even done the very first thing that's the will of God for your life. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4 says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is the will of God for you to be saved. For you to die and go to hell, you have to turn away from the will of God for your life. The first step is your spiritual birth. You don't make it to heaven and skip the first step. If a baseball player hits the ball over the fence and misses first base and steps on all the rest of them, he's out. You don't get to heaven. You don't make the home run to heaven and miss that first base. And first base is trusting Jesus as your Savior. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What a waste of your life when Christ has already died for you, for you to live your life without accepting him as your Savior. The Lord would have you to be saved because he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God would have you to be saved because you're lost and without hope if you've never accepted Christ. You're on your way to hell. You're condemned already, the scripture says. God would not have you to go to hell. God would have you to be saved. Now, my dear friend, God's not going to shove Jesus down your throat. He'll knock at your heart's door and ask you to receive him. But you must open that door and invite him to come in. You must accept him as his Savior. The Lord would have us to be saved because we're lost. We're all sinners. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He would have us to be saved because the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. See, it's the will of God for you to be saved, because without salvation, you as God's creation will be wasted forever in hell without hope. You've missed God's purpose for your life. You're going to live and die and go to hell and suffer in torments forever when God would have you to be saved. And God has made provisions for you to be. You see, God's not willing that you die and go to hell because he wants you to be with him in heaven forever. That's the reason he sent his son Jesus. And by the way, when Saul got saved here in Acts 9, the very next thing, he said, "What do I do now?" He said, "We're going to send you into Damascus, and there it'll be told you what you do next." And you know what God had for him next? Had a man already ready to baptize him. So God's will is that you be saved. And after you get saved, you get baptized. And I challenge you to study in the scripture about every person in the book of Acts that gets saved. And when the Bible tells the story of their salvation, it also tells the next thing they do after they get saved is get baptized. That's the will of God for your life. Secondly, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" He'd have you to give your life to live it for Jesus Christ after you're saved and after you've been baptized. Now again, you don't go to heaven and skip salvation. And you can't live in the will of God and skip baptism after you're saved. We're in the skipping business. We want shortcuts. We want to do it our way and not God's way. God said, here's my will for your life, salvation, baptism. Now after you're baptized, you can live in the will of God for my life, for your life. He says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, Christians, by the mercies of God, because you've experienced the mercies of God, now present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect," what? "Will of God." After you're saved and baptized, God would have you to give your life to live it for Jesus. People say, "Oh, preacher, I don't want to die for Christ." I don't find where he asks you to. I find where he asked you to live for him. See, now, many have died in the course of their service for God. Jim Elliot, the missionary, died in the service for the Lord. But God says, here's my will for every one of you. I don't want you to become a sacrifice shot through with Indian arrows. I'm not asking you to die on some jungle soil. You may. But here's what I want every one of you to do. I want you to live, and I want the sacrifice you give me to be your life a living sacrifice, proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's asking you to live for Him. The devil's not asking you to die for him. He wants you to live for him too. Jesus said, I want you to live for me. That's the reason you were created. That's the reason I died for you on the cross of Calvary, so you could live for me and then live with me. He'd have you to live your life for him because it's the life God planned for you from the beginning. You know, you are not an accident with God. You're God's creation. You're God's heritage. God gave you life, and He would have you live that life for Jesus Christ. He planned it for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. And then verse number 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He hath before ordained, before you were born, before you were saved. It was the will of God for us to walk in His will, to live our life for His glory. He'd have us to live our life for Him because it's the best life you can live. Anything less than a life lived in the will of God is subnormal. It's less than you could have had. Now, if I have a choice of eating iced milk, or chocolate almond ice cream, I'm not going to take the ice milk. Now, if you say, well, that's what I like. You like it because you're trying to lose weight and trying to keep from dying and trying to have to replace all of your suits and dresses. I don't eat ice milk because I like it. I don't eat sherbet because I like it. When I eat it, I'm trying to lose weight. Boy, when I can, I want that Brahms chocolate almond ice cream. Take a bite of it, Lisa. Ring around your mouth. God's got the best life for us. We settled for the devil's ice milk and less. God's got the best prepared and planned for us if we'd learn to live in His will. Many believe the devil's lie and waste their life on self and sin. The best life is the will of God. It's a life with meaning and purpose. It's a life that contributes and gives instead of being a life that just takes. There's two kinds of people. There are givers and takers here today. Now, every one of us at one time or another is going to need help, and we're going to be on the taking end. And I've been there, but I want to tell you, I far had rather be on the giving end. When we live in the will of God, we're living a life that contributes. It gives. It's not just a taking life. Life in the will of God is a life that has lasting influence for good. Because a life lived for Jesus We ought to live a life for Jesus because it defeats the devil. Now, he's our enemy. I wish I didn't have a lot of amens there. And you know why I didn't have a lot of amens? Because the Bible says, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy to God. But God ought to be your best friend. He ought to be the one you love and the one you live for, not the devil and not the world. Our job ought to be to give the devil a licking, give him a kick in the rear end, instead of pampering him and support him and help him out. A life lived in the will of God gives the devil a licking. Have you ever given the devil a licking one time in your life? Living in the will of God defeats the devil. And we ought to live in the will of God because God created you for himself and redeemed you for his glory. And not to live for him is to mock Calvary and what Christ has done for you. We ought to live in the will of God after we're saved because it's the only life that produces a joy here and a future to look forward to. You see, I get up every morning. I don't dread life. I look forward to it because this is the day the Lord hath made. It's a wonderful day, an exciting day, when I can live to please God. You say, but what if this is the day when your life ends? Well, you can't threaten me and cause me to fear with heaven, because when this life is over, it's heaven. Heaven. God would have us to live our life in the will of God after we get saved. Thirdly, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? God would have every one of us tell our family and friends about Jesus and help them to get saved. That's the will of God for our life. Now, it's an amazing thing. When God saved that old maniac of Gadara, Mark chapter 5, he was demon, devil possessed. Legions, thousands of devils possessed his body. He was out of his mind. He cut himself with rocks. If they had things to pierce themselves, then he probably had piercings everywhere. Cut himself and bleed. His home, he made his homes in the caves where they buried the dead among the rotting, decaying bodies of the dead. They tried to chain him, but he was so controlled by devils, he'd break those chains. No man could tame him. And one day Jesus came. And that maniac ran to meet Jesus, and Jesus cast the devils out of him, saved his soul, and he was so grateful he wanted to go with Jesus and be with Jesus. And you know what Jesus said? No. I want you to go back and tell your home and tell your friends. Now, when he said home and friends, he was referring to two different groups of people. I want you to let your family know what I've done for you. And I want you to tell your friends what I've done for you. What is the will of God for our life? To tell our friends and our family about Jesus after we get saved and help them to get saved. Remember Andrew, one of the first apostles? He got saved. He was a fisherman. He got saved. When he got saved, the Bible tells us that he ran to tell his brother about Jesus. Listen to the scripture. John 1, verse 40, 41 and 42. And one of the two which heard Jesus speak followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, and he first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. It's the will of God after we get saved to tell our family and our friends about Jesus Christ. You see, they too are lost and need to be saved. Our mothers and fathers need to be saved. Our brothers and sisters need to be saved. You ought to know how much your brothers and sisters are full of the devil. You know how they treat you. You know how desperately they need to be saved. If you don't care about them, who is? Our husbands and wives are to be told about Jesus. Our brothers and sisters, our friends and neighbors. This is the will of God for our life. In Acts 16, that jailer accepted Christ as Savior, and he took Jesus home to his house and told his wife and family about Jesus, and they all got saved with him and were baptized. After Matthew got saved, he prepared a supper for his friends and co-workers and invited Jesus to come and eat supper and speak because he wanted his friends and co-workers to get saved also. My dear friends, the only way your family and friends will ever be saved is for some other Christian to tell them about Jesus, to show them, to lead them, to help them. And why wouldn't it be you? As a Christian, we are left here on this earth as Christ ambassadors. We are to stand in His stead. We're to preach His message. We're to proclaim salvation's story. We're to tell it to others. The lost will only know about Jesus, the Bible, and heaven from what they see and hear from our lives. And it is the will of God for you to be saved. It is the will of God for you to live your life for Him after you're saved. And it's the will of God for every one of us to tell our family and our friends about Jesus Christ. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord would have you make your decision for Him today. Not to wait till next week or next year, till you're 20 or 30, but make that decision to trust Him as Savior today. And if you're already saved, to make that decision to get baptized. And if you're already baptized, make that decision to live your life for Jesus Christ and tell your family and friends about Him. He'd have you to make that decision today. Not next week, not next month. Life is too short. While you're waiting and playing your games, you're son or daughter or mother or daddy or wife or loved one or friend may die and go to hell. We don't know when this time will be the last opportunity to make our decision for Him. He'd have us to make it today. And I'm confident the Holy Spirit of God speaking to somebody's heart about being saved today. Somebody has been saved and He's speaking to you about getting baptized. Somebody has been saved and baptized, but you're not living for Him. And the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart this morning about living your life in the will of God. I'm confident there are people here today that have loved ones and neighbors and friends that are lost and going to hell. And God is speaking to your heart about telling them. May I say to you, while the Holy Spirit is speaking, I'm almost certain some of you are hearing another voice speak, saying, "Oh, don't do it. Put it off. Get home so you can watch the Texas basketball game this afternoon. Don't take time to make that. You've got plenty of time." And I'm sad to tell you that too many of our foolish people are listening to the devil and not to the Holy Spirit of God, who's saying, "Do it now. Do it now. Not next week, not next month, now, today, today." And I want to say in conclusion that it is high time that we start listening to the Holy Spirit of God and say yes to Him. It's time to come to Him now and obey His will for our life. Some of you here today need to be saved, and it's God's will you be saved today. Some of you need to come for believer's baptism, and it's God's will that you do it today. Some of you are newly saved, and it's God's will that you begin to live your life and build your family and marriage on the will of God. Live your life for Him, and He would have you do it today. Some of you right now are saved, trying to live in the will of God, and you've got loved ones and friends and neighbors that are on their way to hell, and you've never one time talked to them. And God has made it known to you. It's His will for you to tell them without delay. I don't have time to deal with every aspect of the will of God, even the general will of God. But I promise you, if you'll trust Him as Savior and follow Him in believer's baptism and yield your life to Him and ask Him, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? And start telling your neighbors and friends about Jesus Christ, I promise you, He'll reveal Himself and the next step in His will for your life. But let's do the first things. Let's get started right. Let's begin by saying yes to Jesus and that need in our heart and in our life. Father, that's our message today.